Two things real quick. Yeah, this is Fourth Sunday Food Share, we call it. We even have a graphic for it. But anyway, I love that. It's a grocery sack with a cross on it. So we've sanctified the food. Doesn't even have calories in it much. Now, I'm not criticizing. I think it's kind of cool. So anyway, if you need groceries or if someone you know could use a little help, after service this morning, down the hall, down in the kitchen down there, there are groceries available. And, what an opportunity for us. It's appropriate. It's got a cross. Because it is a means of us blessing through you, through this church. And so, if you personally need groceries or if somebody you know, you can take a bag to them and say, this is from me and my church, and we care about you, and this is what it means to be part of the body of Christ. So anyway, that's available for you, and so feel free to get that help today. And then tonight is life groups that meet across the city, and so if you are part of a life group, well, be sure and go tonight and be blessed by participating in the life group. We're going to do something different. We have Sunday Night Life here, and this is my life group that meets here in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock. And tonight, rather than me talking, the Israeli emissary, Shiri West, is going to be here to speak. She is she's an Israeli who is kind of the liaison to the Jewish community here in Tulsa. They come and live here for a year or 18 months or whatever, and then go back to Israel. And so she had offered to speak anywhere in Tulsa to kind of share an insider's perspective on what is happening in Israel right now with all the knife attacks and the incitement, they're calling it, that's going on in the Palestinian area and territories to attack Israel. And so she spoke last night at Temple Israel, and she'll be here tonight to just share, as I said, an insider's perspective on what's happening in Israel. We'll take time to do what the Scripture says and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and to pray for peace in Israel. But so if you are interested, if you're not already in a life group, feel free to come back tonight if you have interest. And we're just going to get right to her speaking at 6 o'clock. And so I think it'll be very informative. It'll help us know even more how to pray. And I think something good can come from that. So just be aware of that. I looked back there and saw Wayne Moss is here this morning. We're glad to see him back. He spent way too many days in the hospital not long ago. And glad he's feeling stronger. And bless you, Wayne. We're glad to see you here this morning. And all the rest of you, you belong here. Well, we're glad. So if this is your first time, you belong here. Welcome home. And glad to see you today. Well, we're going to, I want to talk to you this morning. It's interesting, everybody I prayed with this morning during the worship time, I kept wanting to say, well, I got something to say to you here in just a minute. I feel like this may be helpful to you. And so I'd prayed and kind of struggled over this sermon. Friday is my sermon, Sunday morning sermon writing day. And so I had spent the morning working. I usually, before I leave the house, I try to make sure at least I've got this going where I think it ought to go. And for some reason, Friday, it just wasn't going to happen for me. And I finally stopped, went to the hospital to pray for folks, still kind of thinking about what the direction I thought I was to go. And as I thought about the challenges and the struggles that people were facing in the hospital and the fact there were no easy answers for some of those folk, and I finally felt I was to share a word about the challenges of life. And I was talking to Sarah and Rebecca about it that night, and they said, oh, you ought to call that hashtag the struggle is real. And so they had to explain to me what that actually meant, the significance of that. And apparently if you're under 40, I mean, if you're over 40, you probably have no idea that there's something behind that. So those of us who are older, we're clueless this morning, but the struggle is real. So I don't need to tell you what you already know. It's an older crowd in here. I don't need to tell you or convince you of the truth of this fact that life is a challenge. Life's messy, and there's no exceptions to that. There's no getting around it. Each day comes with challenges, things you'll have to face and overcome. And each challenge is, in fact, an opportunity for victory, for gain, for growth, or it's an opportunity for defeat and loss. And depending, it kind of depends on your choice and your response to what that challenge is. But each day, the challenge is there. It starts probably when the alarm clock goes off and you face the challenge. Do I hit the snooze button or not? Do I just throw it across the room, pull the covers over my head, and surrender to the urge to just give up because I can't face those clowns I work with at work. I can't face, and that's what the other pastors say, I can't face, I can't face that teacher. I can't face the people at the bus stop. I mean, whatever it is. So the challenge is there immediately, and yeah, the struggle is real. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. And that sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, I like the fact that Jesus says that. Don't worry about tomorrow. That sounds to me like he's saying, because tomorrow everything's going to be better. No problems tomorrow. I'm already in tomorrow. I've taken care of everything. I mean, that's kind of the way a lot of people preach that. I've taken care of everything. You've got nothing to worry about. But then he gives us the reason. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. And he says, because each day has enough trouble of its own. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, that's not at all what I wanted to hear. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow because, woo, it's going to be a doozy. All right? Tomorrow's got some stuff going on. You just got to get through today. First, you got to get out of bed and you got to get dressed and you got to go on to work. So, I mean, I was hoping for something more than, yeah, there's going to be some challenges tomorrow. Just get through today. We're going to be challenged every day. Peter wrote, dear friends, don't be surprised at the painful trial you're suffering as though something strange were happening to you. Really? Really? So you're telling me that it's likely that there are going to be some challenges? Yeah. Don't be surprised by it. Why? Because life is a challenge. Every day has challenges, no exceptions. And certainly some are more serious than others. Those folks I visited in the hospital, they're facing life and death situations. Some of us are just dealing with the challenge of trying to sit through this service without falling asleep or just hoping you get out in time to watch the game that you're wanting to see this afternoon. So there are serious challenges and silly challenges, but the truth is we all face them. And so hashtag the struggle really is real. In addition, I know you're not supposed to say it. Anyway, in addition to the daily struggles, there is a serious challenge, and that is that we're facing an ongoing spiritual battle and challenge. There's a battle for our soul. We struggle with the devil trying to overcome and make righteous choices. We struggle with our own conscience. We struggle with our flesh trying to resist temptation. We struggle against the pressure of our culture and world to conform us to the values of a sinful, fallen world. It's a challenge, and we're in a battle about all these things. The Bible says, for our struggle, our challenge, is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So what do you know? The struggle really is real. It really is real. It's not just about these simple things, but it's life and death. It's eternity at stake. Some of you may have seen the movie The War Room, and if you haven't, I would recommend it. It's the truth. We're in a battle. There's a war going on. There's an enemy that wants to destroy our souls. There's an enemy that wants to demolish our faith and undermine our trust and our hope in God. He's come, the Bible says, to kill and steal and to destroy, and he uses all means possible in order to carry out his plans. The devil's a terrorist. He fights with guerrilla warfare. He doesn't fight fair. The Bible refers to him as cunning and crafty, as a schemer. He's a deceiver, and he's come to deceive us if possible. And he challenges God over who will be the Lord in our lives. And he challenges us over whom we will serve, whether we'll serve God or whether we'll serve ourselves or serve him. So here's the challenge. The challenge is to live a life of faith, to trust in and obey God regardless of the circumstances. Regardless of what we encounter, regardless of what comes at us or what we have to deal with, the challenge is, will we live a life of faith and obedience to God? And here's the reality. We will be opposed by our own flesh and will, by the world, by the devil. We're going to be opposed. You'll never, ever stop being challenged by something or someone. But why? Why do we have to face all these challenges? I mean, I thought when I became a Christian, I wouldn't have any more problems, right? I thought that was the deal. You get saved and God takes care of everything and you don't have any more challenges. Couldn't God just prevent me from having to struggle with these challenges and issues in my life? And here's what I believe. Rather than preventing us from facing struggles and challenges, I believe the Lord wants to redeem and repurpose them for our good and His glory. Don't be surprised that life involves a struggle, that sacrifice is required. But God, rather than preventing us from having to face challenges or these things in our life, He wants to redeem every challenge and repurpose it to cause it to work together for our good. That's His plan and His purpose. So listen, this is what it means to take up a cross and follow Him. It means there are going to be challenges. Jesus said, strive means make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many will try to enter and will not be able. He's talking about entering into the kingdom of God, into eternal life. And He says, you're going to have a challenge. You're going to have to strive. You're going to have to make every effort to walk in obedience. You'll have to make an effort to serve God, because everything's going to oppose that, including sometimes your own head and heart and flesh. You want to take another way. You want to follow another path, but He calls us to obedience. We're being challenged today, but don't let the challenges discourage you. Because I'll say it again this morning, the Lord wants to redeem and repurpose every challenge for our good and His glory. So the truth is, it's not a bad thing that we're challenged. In fact, the truth is, if it's the unchallenged life that remains unproductive and unfruitful. It's like having we've got 300 acres or something behind our house. It's all just unplatted, undeveloped land. It sets out there. I don't know what's out there. Stuff that I don't want to know about, probably. I know there's coyotes out there because, boy, they bark and yelp and it sounds like they're coming through the windows sometimes or so. And so, heard them last night, in fact. So, I don't know what all's out there, but it's just unproductive, unfruitful land. You know why? Because it hadn't been challenged. Because nobody's cleared it, because nobody has, and I'm talking about it like it's an animate object rather than inanimate, but in a sense I guess it is, it's living earth, but it has to be challenged. Somebody has to plow it up. Somebody has to clear it. Somebody has to cultivate it. It's challenged. And so if we could turn it into a person, we're thinking, don't challenge me. Don't plow me. Don't do that work in me. But it won't be productive. It won't be fruitful. But if we get out there and challenge it and work it and clear it, you can do something with it. We could farm on it, or we could build houses or something, but it'll have to be challenged. The unchallenged life remains unproductive and unfruitful. It's the challenge that motivates and moves us to action. It's the challenge that produces passion in us. It's the challenge that prompts us to fight the good fight. It's the challenge that causes us to persevere, to say, I'm not going to give up. It's the challenge that causes us to rise to the occasion, to discipline ourselves, to strive for and pursue excellence in our walk of faith and to overcome. It's the challenge that does that. It's the challenge. So the truth is, that big challenge you're facing right now may just turn out to be not only a necessary thing, it may turn out to be a really good thing in your life, because God wants to take it and redeem it and repurpose it to work for your good and for His glory. Now, you know, to pay to watch a basketball team just practice, you know, they don't have anybody to play against, you know, even the, what is it? The Washington Generals or whatever, the guys that go around to lose to the Harlem Globetrotters all the time. The whole point is that you've got to have something that opposes. There's a challenge. That's what makes it amazing. It's amazing that somebody can fly through the air and dunk a basketball. What's more amazing is that they can do it with two guys trying to stop them from doing that, and they can fly over somebody and dunk the basketball. That's amazing. It's amazing that a guy can, can kick a football. Justin Dunn's here. If somebody can kick a football 50 yards and put it through that, what's more amazing is that there's 11 guys trying to stop him from doing that, and he can still do it. He can still do it. And so the unchallenged life is not very productive, not very fruitful, but when we face the challenge, we say, no, I can do that. There's something about that that says, I can do that, and we rise to the occasion. That's a good thing. So let me share a couple of passages of Scripture, and then I'll make some observations this morning. But I want you to get this morning. I feel like this is important for a lot of us. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. While you're turning, let me just say this too. When we think about the challenge, I've said He wants to redeem and repurpose those challenges. Understand some of the challenges have been brought on by us. All right, And so God says He'll redeem it. He's not thinking up ways to challenge you, I don't think. Part of it's just happening because this is the stuff we do. So some of the challenges we're having to face, it's a result of us being stupid. Some of the challenges we face is a result of our bad decisions, our poor choices. The times when we said, I'll do it this way instead of God's way, and we found ourselves in trouble. And so you can't say, well, why didn't God deliver me from the sentence that I got or whatever? Well, the reality is you chose stupid, and so you chose poorly. And so that's why you're having to deal with this. But what God says is, I'm going to redeem and repurpose that so you're having to do 100 hours of community service because you chose stupid instead of smart and righteous. But He says, I'm going to turn that for good. I'm going to redeem that and I'll repurpose that. And you're going to meet somebody that you're going to share the love of Jesus with and they're going to get saved. Or you're going to meet somebody who says, I'm never doing this again. And you know what? I got a job and you need a job. And I don't know, there's some connection. God's going to redeem it and repurpose it. But understand that God's at work in all this. But sometimes we're bearing the consequence of what we did. We're paying for that. But even in that, God says, no, I'll redeem that and I can repurpose that. I'll use that for your good and His glory. So Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord's speaking to the Israelites about how they're going to drive out the nations from the land that He's giving them. And verse 1 says, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land you're entering to possess and drives out before you many nations, and then in the scripture it lists the nations, Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. And then He sums it up. Seven nations larger and stronger than you. And when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you. Now stop right there, because that really sounds good to me. That appeals to me. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you're entering to possess, and He drives out the many nations that are stronger and bigger and mightier than you, that sounds good. God's taking care of it. God says, oh yeah, I'll drive them all out, and you're going to walk in. That sounds to me like, He says, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you, that sounds to me like I'm walking into the land, and they say, nice to have you. Welcome to my home. We're just heading out. And here's all the stuff. Towels are in there. Food pantry's taken care of because we knew you were coming. Because God said, get out because they're coming. So we've got everything ready for you. Enjoy. It's a great place to live. And they head out the door because that sounds unchallenged, unproblematic to me. The Lord's going to bring you in and He's going to drive out the nations and He's going to deliver them into your hand. But then the rest of it says, and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Well, now, excuse me. Because you said you were going to drive them out, and you said you were going to deliver them to me. What's this about me defeating them? Because even though Scott said I could whip the other pastors, the likelihood of that, a couple of really elderly pastors I think I could take in a good... Come on. But... So after I've defeated them, that's what you're telling me? You're going to deliver them over to you, and after I've defeated them, this we need to talk. We need to talk about this, because that's not the way I planned it. Because I thought when I gave my heart and life to the Lord, the challenges were over with. I thought you were driving them out, giving me the land, and now you're telling me I'm going to have to fight in this deal. And this is how it works. The Lord drives them out. The Lord delivers them over, but we're going to be engaged in the battle. God's doing it, but He's doing it through the Israelites. And here's the challenge. The Israelites are still going to have to face enemies and fight battles, but God has assured them of the victory. And here's the lesson for us. God's going to be faithful. And God has a plan and a destiny for us. And He assures us of ultimate victory, but we're still going to have to face challenges and fight battles in the midst of this. We're doing it with the Lord. He's in the battle with us. The outcome is going to be all right, but we're still going to have to face challenges and fight battles along the way. Well, I don't like that. Do you? No, I don't care for it at all. But that's the reality. That's where we are. Remember the challenge and the reality? The challenge is to obey God and trust Him in the midst of all it, know that it's going to be all right. But the reality is there's going to be challenges every day. We're going to have to face something. Now look at verse 22 of chapter 7. He says, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. And then look what he says. He qualifies it. little by little. You'll not be allowed to eliminate them all at once, or the wild animals will multiply around you, but the Lord your God will deliver them over to you. Notice the same thing. The Lord says, the Lord will drive them out. I'll take care of that. But then he adds, but you'll not be able to eliminate them all at once. Well, I thought you were driving them out, but still this partnership going on. God's in control, but we're still going to face the challenge. We still have to trust him and obey him and know that he's going to see us through this. And then notice that they weren't going to be able to eliminate them all at once. God had promised them ultimate victory. The Lord is doing this. He will drive out the nations. But there's a process involved in the deliverance, and it was going to happen over a period of time. And the challenge would remain before them, and they would continue to have to fight. They would continue to have to be obedient and trust the Lord and His timing. And why? Why would it have to be that way? Why does he say, and this will happen little by little? And the reason he gives is because the wild animals will multiply around you. Well, what's he talking about? Well, if God did it like that, if he cleared all the enemies out like that, then essentially what he's saying is, but that's more than you can handle. He clears them out all at once, but you can't take possession of the land that quickly. You're not capable of doing that. The land will just lie fallow. You won't be able to clear it. You won't be able to possess it. You won't be able to guard it. You won't be able to plant it or toil. You won't be able to take care of it. And the wild animals are just going to multiply, and eventually they're going to just come up and chew you up because you can't handle. You can't, oh, I suddenly said that. You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the blessings yet. It's beyond what you can handle. Are you hearing what I'm telling you this morning? There's some things, you know, it's possible for blessing to get out ahead of your integrity and your character and your ability to handle that, that all of a sudden God just hands you everything and you go, well, boy, that's perfect. Now I got what I want. And your character and integrity and your discipline doesn't keep up with it, and you just turn to seed. You know, all those people that won the lottery and they got $400 million, and I'll just take that in cash, please. 20s, if you don't mind. And so they've got $200 million and they all quit their job. And 2 years later, they're saying, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me in my life, having all that money, right? And every one of us, there's like one guy here who will say, no, not me. But all the rest of us say, you give me $200 million, I can handle it. Trust me, God. If there's any question about it, trust me, I can handle it. Rain it down on me because I can handle $200 million. But apparently we can't. $200 million, you know how many Cheetos and big screen TVs that'll buy? Right? And you don't have to work. And anybody wants to mess with you, I got $200 million. I'm not moving from the couch. I'm eating Cheetos and Twinkies and I'm watching TV. And eventually they take the wall out and haul you out of there or whatever. And you say, if I hadn't got the $200 million, I'd be out there working today. I'd be out there moving around. We can't handle the blessing sometimes. That's what he's talking about. If this doesn't happen little by little, the wild animals will take over because you have to be able to cultivate this, and you need the process. You need to learn how to do this. You need to learn how to manage. You need to know how to handle this. So don't despair over the challenge because you couldn't handle the unchallenged life. God's at work in this. Remember, he's redeeming and repurposing every challenge, and so he's at work in all this. Now, look to Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3. Years had gone by now. The nations had been driven out for the most part, little by little. But look at this passage. It says, these are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. And look what he tells us. We get to see behind the scenes into the thought that went into this in heaven. It says, he did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. And then the passage goes on to say, these were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands which he had given their forefathers through Moses. So he did this in order to teach them warfare. The issue is, I mean, we're thinking, well, why do I have to go through this? And I thought we were supposed to be enjoying the peace of the land. You know, we're supposed to be just enjoying God's presence. And why do I have to fight? Why is there a challenge? The Israelites had to be thinking, why didn't they get rid of all these people when they first came into the promised land? I mean, why does my generation have to do anything with this? Why do we have to learn to fight? But that's the issue. The next generation and the next generation had to learn how to fight so they could keep the land that their fathers had taken possession of and secured for them. They were going to have to continually depend upon the Lord. The challenge would require them to continue to call upon God, to never get to the place where they said, God, we don't need you anymore. Thank you very much. You gave us the land. We cleared it. We ran the guys out. Now we can take it from here. Let me just tell you, if you ever get to that place in your life where you're thinking, well, thank you, God, you took care of me. Boy, you saved me and you healed me so I didn't die and I'm blessed, so I got it from here. I know you got other things. You got the whole Middle East. Take care of that. I got it from here. If that's the way you're thinking today, you need to sit down, maybe take an aspirin, just rest, put a cool rag on your head, and then get up and realize, I lost my mind just temporarily, but Lord, don't leave because I can't do anything without you. And that's what they needed to know. We can't do this. Where do you think you're going, God? You can't leave us. We can't do this on our own, man. We're done for if we try this. And so he says, the challenge was he needed to test them. They needed to realize they got to keep obeying God and doing this according to his commands or we're going to lose everything that God's given us. The challenge was going to require them to continue to call upon God and ask for his help. Let me tell you, there is purpose in the challenge. There's purpose in the challenge that you're facing today. Don't despair. Don't be discouraged. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't blame God. There's purpose in this. Life is a challenge, but don't let that throw you or defeat you today. Listen to me. Challenges are maturing, proving, empowering, clarifying, perfecting events. So the challenge you face today, and as much as I wish, I pray, oh God, just deliver me, take this away, I don't want to go through this, Lord, help me with this. But the Bible says, count it all joy when we face some of these challenges. James said, you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so you can be mature, complete, not lacking anything. I want to be mature, complete, not lacking anything, but I don't want to go through any stuff to get there. All right? That's me. I'm Jabez, all right? Oh God, oh that you would enlarge my dwelling place and that you would deliver me from pain. Don't let any bad thing happen to me, but make me mature, complete, and lacking in nothing. I want to be the guy that says, let me tell you about the time when I didn't have anything and they held a gun to my head and I had 16 diseases and I was the very last second and God healed me and delivered me. I want to be able to tell the story. I just don't want to go through the stuff that I just said I was going through, all right? For you Seinfeld guys, I'm Jay Peterman wanting to buy Kramer's stories. Oh no, that happened to me. Roy Hood and I know what I'm talking about. I want that, but I don't want to have to go through that stuff. But the only way to have that testimony is to go ahead and face the challenge and say, I'm not quitting. I'm going to press on in this thing. Perseverance, push on through because you're going to be mature and complete and not lacking anything. It looks to me like God leaves a few nations, a few challenges, a few obstacles in our path so we'll rise to the occasion and accept the challenge and learn the art of spiritual warfare and so that we'll grow and be complete and our life can be a blessing to others. There is a purpose in our challenges. But I also know that challenges can be overwhelming at times. We look at them and we think, I just can't. I understand what you're saying, and it's for my good, and blah, 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 but I just can't do it another day. How can I endure this? Well, let me share a couple of things as we wrap this up. First of all, understand this. This challenge is about more than you can see right now. Right now, all you know is it's messed up and you got to get it fixed. All you know is, I don't know that I can keep breathing through today. I don't know that I can handle the challenges. And we want to run when the challenge intensifies because we can't see beyond the test. We can't see the growth and the perfecting that's occurring in the process. All we can see is we're tired and weary and we just can't. I just can't face another challenge. But remember, it's about more than you can see right now. There's something else involved here. God has bigger plans than what He's let you in on. He's up to something and He's got a plan. There's a greater purpose in this. So don't quit. Not yet. Hold on here. You can go down the list of great people of faith in the Bible. It's always about more than they could see. Abraham and Sarah thought it was just about having a baby because they just so wanted one, and God had promised one and it didn't come. But it wasn't just about a baby. It was about an heir, so there would be a lineage through which Jesus, the Messiah and our Savior, would be born. It was about more than a boy, a son. It was about salvation. It was about God's redemption plan. Joseph thought he'd been betrayed by his family, that it was just about him being betrayed by his brothers and you know, that they didn't like him. He just thought life's unfair. It was about more than that. He tells them finally at the end, you intended it for evil. God meant it for good. God had a plan in this. It was about more than I could see. Down in that well or being carried off or in the prison in Egypt, I wanted to shake my fist, but I just kept believing somehow there's more to this than what I can see. And what do you know? God intended to save all of Israel and keep the people alive. And that too was about us, because it was through that lineage that the Messiah came. Israel's thinking it's just about the land, but it was about a nation, about a kingdom. It was about salvation for us. You're facing a challenge right now, and you're thinking about calling it quits. Marriage isn't working out. Kids are a problem. The life you've chosen, it's just not what you thought it was going to be, and you just want to bail out. And I understand, but it's about more than you can see right now. There's more at stake than what you're accounting for. There's something going on. Eternity is at stake. And listen to me, battle on. There's an enemy that's battling for your soul today. He's bidding for you and your eternal soul. And so because of that, the stakes are higher than you thought. You hear what I'm telling you? The stakes are higher than you thought. You thought it was just about, well, it's just, you know, it's just a marriage. It's just a family. It's just this. It's just me and my life. But it's not. It's about more than that. It's about trusting God and obeying God for the long haul. It's about remaining faithful because eternity is at hand. Trust me, what you're dealing with is about more than you can see right now. And the stakes are higher than you think, so don't give up. Somebody else is being affected, and heaven is cheering for you and counting on you, so don't give up. The stakes are too high, and there's more here than what you can see. Just remain faithful and trust Him. Here's the next thing. The challenge affects more people than you think. So you're facing this challenge, and the devil's bidding for your soul, and you know God's called you to obedience. You know what the Bible says, but you're tempted to just say, I'm going to go my own way. I mean, we get to that place sometimes to just think, well, what difference does it make? It's just me. It's my life. I can live my life the way I choose, and so what if I do this? So what if I do that? Who am I hurting besides myself? You know what? We even say that to people. Well, you know, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. But that's not true. That never is the truth. You're hurting everybody that knows you. You're hurting everybody that sees you, everybody that watches your life. You're not just hurting yourself. You're hurting everybody around you. That decision, well, I just want to be happy. And that decision to walk out on your spouse, that decision to walk out on your family, that decision to tell a lie, that decision to deceive somebody, to betray somebody, that decision affects people. It affects everybody. The challenge affects more people than you think. And the positive things you're doing and the righteous choices you're making, that affects more people than you think. Your friends and co-workers are watching. Your family's watching. Children are watching. Nieces and nephews, grandchildren. What's the lesson you wanted your children to learn, your grandchildren to learn from you? Focus and think, well, yeah, I wanted them to learn about resilience. I wanted them to learn this and this and this. What's the lesson you've really taught them? Some of us, if you didn't grow up in a godly home, you're thinking, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never be like my dad. I'll never be like my mom. I tell you what, they messed my life up, and I'm just not going to be that way. You know, I'm going to be there. And then what you did, you know, you grew up in poverty, and so you say, my kids will never be poor. They're never going to lack for anything. And then your kids grew up saying, we never really saw our dad because he was working 7 days a week, you know, 80 hours a week, and we never saw him. And when he did come home, well, he was just mad, and he was tired, and he didn't have time for us, and all that stuff. And so the very thing you were trying to, am I telling you the truth this morning? The very thing you were hoping to avoid is the very thing you did to your kids. They grew up, don't know what's going on, you know? What is happening? What's at stake? What is the choice you're making? What's happening? The challenge affects more people than you think. What are you teaching the next generation? How you handle and how you respond to the challenge affects more people than you think. You think, all right, well, so now you've outed me. So now I'm messed up. And now what am I supposed to do? You're still breathing, aren't you? Still alive? You still got an opportunity because God can redeem and repurpose every challenge. So you've still got time to make amends. You've still got time to build a relationship. You've still got time to change. You've still got time to let God work in grace-filled ways in your life and in your circumstances. So don't quit. Don't give up. Don't spend a whole lot of time crying over the past. Do something about the present right now, today. The challenge that you face today affects more people than you think. And then finally, understand this, that God always makes a way. If you trust Him, if you call on Him, if you obey Him, if you will put your trust in Him, He will carry you, lift you, deliver you, guide you, lead you, redeem and repurpose those challenges. If you choose to obey Him, He'll work it out. The challenge may be great and the test may be difficult, but hear the word of the Lord from 1 Corinthians 10. It says, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful." Boy, underline those words. And God is faithful. Hear it. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you're tempted, He'll also provide a way out so you can bear up under it. You'll stand up underneath it. You won't be overwhelmed or crushed by this thing. Hear that word. God is faithful, and so He will make a way. He'll provide for you and for those around you. He'll redeem and repurpose every challenge. So if you'll trust Him and obey Him, He'll work it for good. He'll turn it for His glory. Why? Because He is faithful. God is faithful. You're facing a challenge, and maybe it's the biggest challenge you've ever faced. Well, in the face of the challenge this morning, let me suggest you affirm some things. Affirm your faith in God. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to trust God. I don't care what comes. I don't care what comes my direction. It is my intention to obey God and His Word, to put my trust and hope in Him. I've come too far to turn around and go back another way. I've come too far trusting Him. I'm going to believe it and I'm going to live for Him. Affirm your faith in God. Affirm that you will journey with God's people. Let me tell you, look around this morning, because you may be thinking, well, you don't understand. Nobody else has experienced what I'm experiencing right now. And I can guarantee you, I'll bet you, I don't bet, but anyway, I'd bet everything I got in my pocket this morning that whatever you're facing and going through today, I can find somebody in this room today that has been essentially where you are, and they're still here, and they're still trusting God. They're still serving. Well, you don't understand. I'm a single parent, and I got 6 kids, and I don't have any money, and I don't have any food. Oh yeah, we got people that can tell you their story. You know, we got people that were, you know, had 13 brothers and sisters, and they were doing laundry on a rub board and didn't have enough. I mean, we can find you the story. You're sick and facing death, we got people. Been in jail, we got people. Whatever you're facing, been abused, we got people. What I'm telling you is there are people here that have been there and done that, and they've got the t-shirt and the scars to prove it, and they've chosen to still live for God. And the point is that if that's the case, if they made it, you can too, and they're here to help you, and they're here to pray for you, and to stand with you. And what I'm telling you is affirm you're going to journey with God's people, because together, we're going to get there. They faced it. Affirm that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. If Christ is the Savior and Lord of your life, then the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. And He that is within you is greater than he that's in the world. The spirit of the world or the devil or anything out there, the Spirit that dwells in your life and is at work in you can empower you and help you, and you're going to make it. Affirm that. Ephesians 3:20 says that He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to His power that is at work within us. The Spirit of the Lord is at work in your life. You're going to make it. Affirm that you're relying upon His grace. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul writes in response to that, "And when I'm weak, then I am strong." What you got to tell yourself when you're laying there in the MRI machine or whatever you're facing, whatever your challenge is, you know what? When I'm weak, God's strong in me, and His grace is sufficient for me, and I can do this. And then finally, affirm that through Christ, you can handle every challenge. Whatever it is, don't quit. Don't give up. Face the challenge as the conqueror that you are in Christ. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You're facing a challenge today because everybody is, but you're going to make it. The challenge you face give you opportunity for great victory, to bring honor to Christ, to provide a strong witness to those around you. Get ready to grow through that challenge as God redeems and repurposes every challenge for your good and for His glory. And remember, in the midst of that challenge, it's about more than you can see right now. Somebody, you need to hear that. It's not just about you. Boy, the older I get, and that's a challenge too, but the older I get, the more I realize it's really not so much about me. Maybe it starts out that way, but it really is about the legacy. It really is about children. It really is about what you sow into somebody else. It really is about the next generation and the people that stay grumpy and hold on to life and don't want to let go are the people that at 90 are still thinking it's about them, and it's not. It's about what we can do for somebody else and to bless others and to prepare others. It really is about, it's not just about us, but it's bigger than that. It's more than that. It's about more than we can see right now. It's bigger, and there's more at stake. And the choices we make affect more people than what we think. So we need to remain faithful and obedient to God. Trust and don't give up. And remember, God's going to make a way, even when there seems to be no way. Would you stand this morning? Last couple of Sundays, I've invited people to come forward, and I thought, yeah, you could say, if you're facing a really big challenge today, I want you to come forward. And then I realized I've just spent 40 minutes telling you everybody's facing a challenge. So I'm just going to say, everybody that's facing a challenge, stand up, and that's us. Because here we are, and whether it's large or small, whether it's major or minor, we're all facing a challenge. Maybe it's not you, maybe it's a family member or a friend, somebody you're so burdened for today. Maybe your kids are facing a challenge right now. Maybe your best friend is facing a challenge and it looks like it's going to just swallow them up. And you think, how are they going to make it? And God says, I can redeem and repurpose that challenge for them. And I'm sending you to tell them. I'm sending you to be one of those that journeys with them through this. That's going to hold their hand. That's going to be there to say, we won't let you go. We're going to hold on to you. We're going to be here to encourage you. I don't know. But God's speaking to somebody this morning about that challenge. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that regardless of the challenges we face, and all of us are facing them today, some are facing the biggest challenge of their life. Some are realizing that, Lord, without you and without a miracle, without a supernatural intervention in the next few days, it looks like things are going to just spiral out of control. It looks like somebody's walking away. It looks like a covenant's being broken. It looks like a change is coming that seems irreparable, that we won't ever be able to put the pieces back together. The challenge seems too great, but the reality for us today is that you are the faithful God. God is faithful, and you can redeem and repurpose every challenge. I ask you to do that in the hearts and lives of people in this house today. Lord, that challenge we're facing, that we're just thinking, how will I get through this week? How will I get through this day, Lord? What are we going to do? How am I going to bear up under this? And today, Lord, we affirm it's bigger than what we thought. It is, and you're at work in ways that I can't see, and there are people that are watching, and their lives are being affected, and so my choices matter today, and I want to be faithful. The influence that I have over family members or friends or co-workers or friends or colleagues or fellow students or whatever it is, Lord, the influence is important. Eternity is at stake. There's more at stake here than I thought. And so, Lord, grant me the grace to keep making those redeemed choices, the right choice. Help me to keep serving you and being obedient. And I affirm, Lord, my faith in you. I affirm that I'm going to journey with God's people. I affirm, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is at work in my life. And as I rely upon your grace through Christ, I'm going to handle that challenge. I can do all things because you're going to strengthen me. You're going to show me the way through. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to back down. I'm not even going to cower behind something. Instead, Lord, I am confident that you will bring us victory. Let it be for us today, Lord. Oh, Lord, for that person that's just about to give up, for that person that you've been broken down by pain, you've been broken down. It's been like an onslaught. The last 14 to 16 months, it's been over a year, that it just seems like one thing after another, and it feels like you can't take another step. If I ask you to come forward, you couldn't. It feels like you couldn't even walk down here for prayer this morning. But what I'm telling you is, God says to you today, He's going to redeem and repurpose the challenge you've been through, the brokenness you've experienced, the chronic attack that you've been under. He's going to repurpose it all. You will testify of God's faithfulness, and others are going to be encouraged. You're going to be a survivor. Trust me. God's already prepared the way. He's going to drive them out. It's happening little by little. And I know you're counting on it being all at once. He's driving them out little by little. But victory is coming for you. Be encouraged today. He's not forgotten you. It's about something bigger than you thought. But oh, how you're going to rejoice as God brings deliverance and shows His faithfulness, not just to you, but to children and grandchildren. Not just to you, but to people you care about. Not just to you, but the legacy of your life is going to be more than you ever thought possible, because God is faithful. Let it be, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the affirmation that comes by your Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit today. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone on this journey. Challenges are there. The Bible says many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Battles to be fought, enemies to be displaced somehow from our lives, but you are there in the battle with us. We are so thankful, Lord. So we're going to... The smartest thing, the wisest thing we can do is continue to hold on to your hand and to trust you as you hold on to ours. And we'll not turn away from you, Lord. We're going to obey you and follow you. Let it be. If you're visiting with us today and unfamiliar with Pentecostal worship or the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, what you just heard of what we call a message in tongues and interpretation, there's a little book out there at the information desk. I think there's some copies called The Person and Work of the Holy Spirit that we wrote 20 years ago. It explains what you've heard and where you can find this in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 12 and chapter 14 as well. And we want you to understand and to be, knowledge is a good thing. So if we can answer questions, we're happy to do that. May the Lord bless you. May His peace shine upon you. Amen. As you walk in His mercy and grace. We'll see you tonight or Wednesday night or next Sunday. Be blessed.